This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Right now we head to Florida because that's where our good friend John McClain is. He's brought to you by HornSolutions.net. John, how are you? How's Florida? What's the chatter about the Astros down there?
I'm in Fort Myers for a quick vacation where we have a place. Carol and I are here, and it's the home of the Red Sox and the Twins. And everybody's talking about the Astros. It's amazing. And I do all my usual talk shows. Everybody talks about the Astros. Nobody has asked me about football. I did 30 minutes on a Baltimore station yesterday about the Astros, nothing about football. And I'll be glad when a combine gets here. Next week, because it's, to me, along with the draft, the most exciting time of the off season. But it seems like as you guys know, something pops up every day, like LeBron James weighing in, and so everybody's got to comment. And based on what people think right now, it's like the Astros did not win a game the last three seasons without cheating, and it's pretty amazing. And there's no way you can try to convince them otherwise. Because people believe what they hear and what they read, and there's so much misinformation out there. But the bottom line is they brought it on themselves.
But you know what, though, John? And this is where I'll say I'm not trying to pile on, make fake media or fake news accusations or whatnot. I understand that they brought it on themselves, but I've honestly been a little bit dismayed at how many people in sports media just go ahead and think that that means you have free license to say things about, say, 2019 that are completely unfounded. I don't get that part of it where you'll come up with all these arguments for why there wasn't the scheme wasn't working and wasn't there for most of 2018, 2019. And the response I'll get from people with journalism degrees is, well, they brought it on themselves. I don't get that. How are people justifying that in their brains?
Well, first of all, I asked a guy on the radio from Baltimore yesterday. I said, do you believe Rob Manfred's investigation that they cheated in 2017? He said, well, yes. I said, well, then why do you not believe his investigation that they didn't use buzzers and that they were clean last season? And he goes, well, I don't know. And I'm with you, Seth. I see so many people out there who everything was about Altuve's tattoo, and I didn't see anything on the other part of that Correa said about Altuve's wife telling his wife she didn't like to see him out there running around with his shirt off because Correa had ripped it off once before. People admitted that, and it was all about the tattoo. I'm guessing you guys saw this meme in which somebody said he finally got to the bottom of Altuve's tattoo, and they showed a little bit of his jersey where you could see the top half. And he had photoshopped the MVP trophy on there.
That's actually, that was
hilarious.
That's one of our listeners, Michael Schwab. You can follow him on Twitter at MichaelSchwab13. He's been fighting the good fight, John.
Yes,
this Michael Schwab, who used to be a producer.
He's verified.
For a sports media thing. But he and a few other people have been kind of tearing down some of these conspiracy theories, including going back to 2015, John. There are all these examples of Altuve after walk-off hits having his jersey ripped off by his teammates, or his teammates trying to rip his jersey off and him holding it tight because he doesn't like it, So it's kind of a game that they'd been playing for a while. And for all the people that would say, wow, why would he even think to not want his jersey ripped off? There's all kinds of logical reasons why he would be thinking these guys are going to try to rip off my jersey. And this was obviously predates when Carlos Beltran was there. We're talking going back to 2015. And all I'm going to do, John, I'm going to keep putting that stuff out there because I don't care what they say about 2017. I almost don't even care about what they say about the team in 2019, except that I need people to understand that Jose Altuve was not participating in this stuff.
people don't want to hear the facts. And, like, I think it was Jeff Passan was in the dressing room and wrote a whole thing about Altuve being shirtless. And I'm thinking that's what guys do in dressing rooms. I've never been in a dressing room where everybody wasn't shirtless. But that's the way it is. People just pounce on it, and they don't want to know the facts. And they think, you know, if you try to tell them the facts, you're an apologist. You don't, they don't want to hear it. But I'm glad there's a lot of people putting good stuff out there. And then, you know, what will it be like if they actually were to win the World Series this year? What would people say?
Oh, it'd be incredible. John McClain joining us. He is in Fort Myers, Florida. And, John, you mentioned you've spent some time at Red Sox spring training. The Red Sox punishment is set to come down here sometime in the next several days, before the end of next week, according to sources. What's the chatter like around Red Sox camp with the punishment coming out? And do you think that the Red Sox punishment coming out is going to deflect any of this from the Astros, or are the Astros the face of this thing?
So the Astros are the face of this thing, and people, if some people, if you say, well, when were they cheating? They don't know. You know, they think they're just cheaters. And so they're worried. Red Sox fans are worried. I saw Tim Kirk, you know, of ESPN, who's one of the most respected baseball people in the country, said that his sources at the league office tell him their punishment is not going to be nearly as severe as the Astros' punishment. So there'll be a lot of Astros fans who'll be upset about that. Thing that we'll never know is who used it, who benefited. Remember, I saw a video of Gattis early on. You could hear the banging, and it's a breaking ball, and he still missed it. And I remember Mike Trout this week said, man, I'd like to know what pitch was coming. Well, you didn't know what pitch was coming. You knew fastball or breaking ball, and there's a lot of different breaking balls, and you would still have to hit it. And if it was as bad as everybody said, wouldn't they have all hit over 300? But it's not – I think something that I've thought about, because my friends have brought this up to me, and I'm sure you guys have heard this too. Fans that go on the road ordinarily proudly wear their Astros gear. Are they going to be in danger of fans, you know, especially drunk fans, starting fights, insulting? What about Yankee fans when they come to Minute Maid? You know, are they going to be loaded for bears, so to speak, and they're going to be extra security in the stands? Will there be extra security in the Astros dugout? Those are things that only time will tell. But I think this could get really ugly once the season begins.
Oh, John, I was looking online yesterday. I'm getting as much Tequila Sunrise gear as possible. I'm going to be, I don't like wearing baseball caps. I'm going to get an orange cap. I'm going to have the loudest, most obnoxious Astros t-shirt every time I fly.
Running Game has new haters gear coming out in the next week or two.
I worry that, oh, really? Oh, okay, yeah. Something about the haters. Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, Adam Silver, that clown fool, he tweeted, hey, am I to assume that if I see anybody wearing Astros gear and they're not in Texas or one of the bordering states, that they're wearing it ironically? So Adam Silver, and now you can see why this guy botched the election last time. Like, Adam Silver.
Oh, Nate Silver.
Or Nate Silver, excuse me, not Adam Silver.
My God,
Nate
why
Silver.
Did Adam Silver?
Nate Silver tweets this out. Nate Silver, who, like, apparently thinks that, you know, us yokels down here in Texas don't travel outside of the South. Like, yeah, every time I fly through New York, honestly, I hope people try to fight me. I'm going to wear all the damn Astros gear I can. I might go to more road games this year than I ever have in my entire life. Yeah. I'm getting to the point now where I'm so sick and tired of it. And I'm so sick of these clowns in L.A. acting like liking your baseball team means that you've co-signed for murder.
Yeah.
I say screw them all, John. Yeah. Screw them all. I'm getting tattoos. I might get a face tattoo. Big old Astros star.
I don't think drugs would pick on somebody your size. I'd love to see you go to the Rangers' new ballpark, where I'm going to go when they play there, and see what the reaction is. Because Rangers games, you'll have from several hundred to 2,000 or 3,000 Astros fans there every time they play. And I can't wait to see what that's going to be like. And of all the teams weighing in, the Rangers, who hate the Astros the most and vice versa, I haven't seen, unless I've missed it, anybody from the Rangers weighing in on this controversy.
John, since you haven't been asked a football question in seemingly decades, since it's all been baseball for you since you've been there.
Please, ask me a football.
I'm going to ask you a football question, and it's going to be this. Let's stick with the cornerback position because Bradley Roby, of course, is a free agent. There are a whole bunch of other free agents out there. There's also a potential trade for Darius Slay. If you had to pin it down, do you have a favorite in the clubhouse for who might be the cornerback that the Texans sign, either as a free agent or by trade this year?
Well, I'm guessing they would want to stick with what they know, and if they were going to pay big bucks, it would be to keep Roby.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And that would make the most sense. He's 27. I think he'll be 28, but they know him, and he knows the system.
John, is there – I'm sure you saw the reports about the availability of Darius Slay from Adam Schefter yesterday. Did Trader Bill immediately pop into your head when Darius Slay was posed as a possibility for, quote-unquote, multiple – I got to imagine multiple teams includes the Texans, who the Lions have talked to about this.
Well, I'd be surprised if they were to trade for a guy because they don't – what are they going to trade? They're two this year.
Yep.
They got their two and their three, and they'll have – some compensatory picks, and they don't have a one or two next year, so I don't think they'll be trading for anybody. They'd be more likely to sign someone.
I'm just thinking about the draft party, like the day two draft party.
It's going to be Saturday late afternoon during the sixth round is when it's going
to
start.
They would have to bust their ass. You know what? Cal would have to spring for sending the private jet up to pick up Darius Slay and having him at the draft party.
Yes.
At least. Like you'd have to have Darius Slay there make an appearance at the draft party. Okay, John, let me ask you this then. Okay, the pie in the sky dream would be, would Trader Bill or would he ever get super aggressive and go after Byron Jones and pay him whatever he's going to be making?
That would be interesting because he's one of the top free agent corners on the market, and Jerry Jones has enough money issues with Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper, and then Jones. One of those guys is not going to be back. And so I don't know what they think about in their system compared to the way the Texans play. I think O'Brien and his pro personnel staff and Matt Bates are going to play director of player personnel. If they're going to spend big money on a free agent, that guy's got to be able to fit in with what they do. Sometime you'll see, and I go back to Jonathan Joseph and Nnamdi Asamoah, who's now an actor on Broadway. You know, the Texans were in it with Philadelphia, and then Rick Smith, one of the best moves he ever made, he told Asamoah's agent, you know, he said, look, we've made an offer, take it or we're going after Jonathan Joseph. So they went for Joseph and got Daniel Manning as well, two guys that contributed to their first playoff season and on. And then Asamoah bombed out with Philly after he'd been so great with the Raiders, and now he's on Broadway and Jay Joe's still playing.
You know what, I'm glad you brought that up. That is one of the maybe more unheralded best moves in Texans history by a general manager, was like Rick Smith. For all that I've criticized Rick Smith, one of the things that I've always been very complimentary of him was just the restraint to not go after the hot item on the market, Nnamdi Asamoah. And Nnamdi Asamoah, he was such a unique skill set player. You know, I think if you had put him in the Seattle scheme for Legion of Boom, or if he'd gone to the right scheme, it would have been a whole different issue. But he just was a guy that needed to use his length and needed to use his physicality, and teams weren't using him that way. I would feel a lot better about a guy like Byron Jones, a guy I feel like, okay, his skill set transfers. You can plop him down into any defense and you'd be all right.
I do believe this. History shows that if you go after a cornerback in free agency who's 30 and you give him big bucks, odds are you're not going to get your money's worth. And I agree, Byron Jones is still young. If I'm going to spend a lot of money on a corner, it's going to be a guy his age and not a guy that's already on the other side of 30. And he's going to be a hot property. There's a lot of teams out there with a lot of money to spend. And it just depends on what the Texans do with Watson and Cunningham and Tunsil to see how much they spend in free agency.
It's John McClain. He's brought to you by HornSolutions.net. John, continue to enjoy Florida. We'll look forward to catching up with you when you're back in town. Safe travels.
Hey, guys, thank you very much, as always.
All right, keep fighting the good fight.
John McClain. Yeah, that's right. Keep fighting for Altuve down there, John.
A bunch of people piling on him just because he's short. This is nothing
more.
McClain? No, piling on Jose Altuve.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
Short shaming.
They're acting like, oh, well, he's the best player they've had and he's short, so he must be cheating.
You were talking about the Texans draft party. They should just make it like a Laramie Tunsil, this is your life. That's what they should do. Since that's what they traded all these picks for. It should be a Laramie Tunsil roast. That'll be the draft party.
it would start early.
Jonesy said, hand out souvenir gas masks.
It would be scheduled to start at 8 a.m. We'd start it at 8 p.m. We had started at 7:59 and 59 seconds p.m. Right. Just a little early. A little before the snap.
That's
count.
Right. That'd be great.
No, I think that's been a part of the game for a long time, I don't really have an answer for that. I haven't really thought about that much.
That's Alex Bregman, and the thing that he is not thinking about that he's asked about there is retaliation by other Major League Baseball teams against the Houston Astros. Seth, before we get into the odds here on who gets retaliated against the most, I don't like this version of Alex Bregman.
Oh.
This monotone. Was it you who made the analogy at the end of the show yesterday comparing him to Jack Nicholson and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
Yeah, after he gets
Lopez?
His lobotomy. That
he gets
was
his
me.
Lobotomy, yeah. Yeah. I'm not digging.
Then you're
this.
The one that took it a step further and reminded everybody that the Big Chief suffocated him with a pillow.
I don't think said Yordan Alvarez would probably be the one to do that to Bregman.
That's true, Yordan. Yordan the mercy
size
killer.
Size-wise, the one that's most comparable to Chief in One Floor.
Bregman's going to wake up at 2 a.m. with this big hulking frame, this shadow over him. I'm here to put you out in your misery, Breg.
That's right.
Not like this.
So I don't like this version of Bregman. The odds makers have put out numbers on not only the number of times that the Astro players total will be hit by pitches in 2020, but they also take it a step further. The number of Astro players to charge the mound in 2020, and they have an odds board on which player specifically is going to get hit by the most pitches in 2020. I'm actually ready to fire on all of these if you want to know the truth. The number that I had heard for the total hit by pitches for the team yesterday, because we talked about this yesterday, was 83.5.
Now, which is about 20 more than they got last year.
Yeah. They got 66 last year, so 83.5. But the number has come down to 80.5.
Yeah.
A lot of people betting on the under.
As Manfred issues these warnings and whatnot. Look, a lot of these guys can talk big, but they are also in the same breath saying that they knew it was going on for the last 3 years. So all these pitchers that are talking a big game, they had their opportunity to try to handle it the old school way. Right. They don't have the balls. They don't have the sand to do it. Clevinger acting like because he wears a stupid hat and gets tattoos that he's a tough guy. He's not going to do it. They don't have the nerve, and it's not going to happen. They quit your whining and yapping. It's like, oh, now they'll pay the price now. Right. Go screw yourselves.
Right. It's also not smart. The Astros are a really good hitting team, you know, from top to bottom in the order, and you don't want to be putting guys on base against. I think bumping it up from 66 to even 80.5, which is where it is now, it's way too much. So I say
Lance McCullers is the only guy out there that I would ever worry about if you're an opposing pitcher, and he's on the team.
What do you mean?
As far as a pitcher that'll actually have the nerve to do something about
anything. Oh, yeah, and he's on the Astros.
Lance is in there in the World
Lance
Series
throw behind guys.
Taking care of business. Yeah, I know.
I worry about if I were to bet on Lance hitting guys, I'd be worried because he'd just throw behind them just to send a message.
The best thing the Astros have going for them right now is that the only pitcher in the league they should be worried about is actually on
he's
their
on their team.
Team. Yeah.
They stand in spring training against him.
Lance will fight you.
The simulated game.
Honestly, I'll put Lance in an interleague game as being one of the Astros most likely to charge the mound.
Okay.
I think Lance might be a guy. Lance is waiting for the first NL game so he can have a chance to charge the mound.
Well, this is the other thing that people have been saying throughout and people ask me on Twitter, especially once the punishments came out, how many bench-clearing brawls do you think they're going to have this year? I'm like, probably none.
Yeah, how many have there been in the last decade?
Yeah. People get way too swept up in this whole thing. Like, there's going to be a beanball war, and there's going to be fights, and there's not. That's why the over under for number of Astros to charge the mound in 2020 is 1.5.
Yeah.
And the under is a heavy favorite, -300.
It looks like the odds makers too are also trying to take advantage of the public right now, where I think
a lot of 100%.
The average baseball fan is so ignorant about how good the Astros are, and because a lot of baseball fans are convinced the Astros were still doing this in 2019, even though there were monitors in the video room, even though there were monitors in the dugout, even though it was like it, and even though the report stated that it stopped in early 2018, and players, mind you, had full immunity to speak the truth. If players, and this is what's frustrating, a lot of people refuse to believe that the Astros weren't cheating in 2019. So then Manfred says, well, look, the players had complete immunity, and they told us all the truth about 2017 and 2018. There's no reason to believe that they wouldn't tell the truth about 2019. And what people will say is, well, yeah, you're just taking the word of a liar. Okay, fine. So be it. This is the thing. When given the immunity only works if the players tell the truth. So every single guy there that's speaking freely and liberally because he thinks he has immunity is not going to start all of a sudden clamming up and lying about 2019 because then he loses all his immunity. Yeah. So it just doesn't make any, unless you're accusing every single Astros player of being a moron, then maybe you've got something there. It doesn't make, so a lot of people out there think, they really idiotically think that all of a sudden the Astros aren't going to hit well this year. They think that this is the only reason the Astros were ever good at hitting a baseball was because of this cheating from 2017. And odds makers are taking advantage of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well, the odds are a ton of money. Bet on the under for season win totals.
Yeah.
Enough to where it's moved the total
yeah.
from 98.5, 98.5 at the beginning of the offseason. Even with all this stuff swirling around them, it was still, the odds makers thought the Astros are a nearly 100-win team. There's been so much money bet by people who are just emotionally charged by the Astros wanting them to fail.
Yeah.
90% of the action is on the under right now. It's driven the under all the way down to 94.5. Seth, I fired a bunch of money on the over 94.5 because I think the Astros are still a 100-win team this
year. Still a little nervous about an improved AL West, but I gotcha.
Yeah, 94.5 wins, baby. 94.5 wins.
Not that I'd be – and the thing, when I say nervous, it's not like 93 wins is an abysmal season or anything.
Right, right.
Yeah, I think that,
how about this one other
yeah.
as long
oh,
as
no,
you
no,
brought
give me more.
As long
right.
as you brought this up. As long as you brought this up, the Astros in terms of World Series futures, betting on a team to win the World Series, the Astros are 29th in the number of tickets bet on them.
Oh,
they're not
okay.
29th on the board. They're like 3rd or 4th on the board, but nobody wants to bet on the Astros
really,
because people don't want to have to root for them.
I guess okay, so if I were going to play devil's advocate here and say, what are the other non box score numbers or factors here. I think the biggest one in my mind would be, okay, even if you're somebody that, like myself, I know that the Astros are just a damn good hitting baseball team already, and they should be the third favorite to win the World Series. Mm-hmm. The non-baseball factors might be, one, just the stress of playing an entire season with all this scrutiny,
yes.
with all this negativity swirling, all of that. That's where the leadership in the clubhouse is going to be really important. And I remember running into Kyle Brady after Spygate. Kyle Brady was a tight end. He played for the Jaguars, and he went on to play for a few other teams, and he was there the year after Spygate with the New England Patriots. So that was the year that they went undefeated in the regular season,
right.
ultimately lost in the Super Bowl. But I asked Kyle, I said, was it a distraction in the locker room, or was it hard to deal with? He said that the leadership on that Patriots team was so strong from the veteran players that it was never even a consideration. You know, and Kyle showed up that season. He hadn't, I believe, been there before. So he was kind of almost an observer in a lot of ways and seeing the way the Patriots way operates and
yeah.
everything. From that, I would say, I think this is where the veteran leadership in the clubhouse is going to be incredibly important to be able to keep guys focused, to not have to not be, you know, responding to negativity and everything. I think the Patriots had a little bit easier back then because social media wasn't a big deal
true,
yet.
True, true.
That was like, that was, Facebook was invented, what? 2006, 2007?
Around there, and Twitter
yeah.
didn't really become prominent until about 2010, 2011. So, yeah, I think it's a fair point. I feel good about the leadership on this team, which is a little ironic considering they allowed this thing to go on with the trash can bang. The very thing that got them in trouble was probably a leadership issue that it went on like that. But in terms of managing crisis and managing adversity, I feel good about this nucleus to be able to do that. It's a fair thing to bring up, and I think it is one of the few things that can derail them from having a really good season. The player to be hit by the most pitches for the Astros in the 2020 regular season. I don't think there's any big surprise. We played Alex Bregman coming
yeah.
into this segment. Bregman is the favorite at even money. Bregman, among the four players who are on the board, is also the one who got hit the most last year, too.
Mm-hmm.
Bregman got, just for purpose of you know, history, without the specter of cheating hanging over hit by pitches, Bregman was hit by 9 pitches last year. Springer, who's number 2 on the board at 2-1, was hit by 6. And then Altuve and Correa are the next two guys. They were each hit by 2 pitches last year. Now, Correa missed half the season. But
Altuve only hit twice.
He's a small target.
Maybe we said this wrong because somebody said, what's the average for other teams getting beaned? 80-plus seems like a lot. Seems like pitchers knew and threw at them. No, the Astros last year were right at the average.
Was 66.1. Yeah. The Astros were at 66.
Yeah, they only got hit 66 times last year. Sean was talking about the over-under for this year. So if there is retaliation, yes, 80-plus would be a lot.
Right.
So.
Right. Who would you, if you had to bet, you got a sawbuck in your pocket, you got to bet it on one of these four Astros. Bregman, even money. Springer, 2-1. Altuve, 3-1. Correa at 3.5-1.
I think if I had to bet, I would put Correa just because he's been more vocal, and I think he might continue to be more vocal. One thing the Astros have done over the last couple of years, it seems at various times, they kind of almost assign somebody to be the media guy for a spell.
Right.
And I think Correa might be that guy in this instance. At the very least, he's going to be defending Altuve, and we'll see. I wonder if Dusty Baker had conversations with Correa about his interviews on Saturday.
Yeah.
Where he was defending Altuve and speaking more kind of liberally about things.
That's
and not that he would have it in a good or a bad way,
not
but
a
I'm just
lecturing
curious.
Way.
Yeah. I just wonder if they've kind of started hashing that out.
Yeah. We're excited to bring you the Sports Radio 610 Best Bugs Tour presented by Coors Light. We're spending the next 7 weeks going to the best crawfish restaurants in all of the Houston area. Let us know where you think we should go. We want you to comment on our social media. Use hashtag best bugs. Yeah, you guys get to participate in this and help us choose some of the places. It's crawfish season. Let's get down. Today at 1:45, we're going to unveil site number 1 on the Best Bugs Crawfish Tour. It's a Fat Tuesday kickoff party next week, and we'll tell you where it's going to be at 1:45 today. It's the Sports Radio 610 Best Bugs Tour presented by Coors Light. Exactly how big is the Texans championship window? I was shocked at what one expert thinks, and we'll tell you what they think next. Seth Payne, Sean Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. Today's Wednesday, right?
These
days are all blending
usually
together
I
with
set
all the
my,
haters.
I set my watch by John McClain's appearance on Wednesday.
Ah.
But when he wasn't in studio today, I got a little confused. Yeah. John McClain, if you missed it, is in Florida. He does a tour of spring training facilities every year with his wife.
Yeah, he's a place in Fort Myers.
He said he hasn't talked football to hardly a soul since he's been there, including when he's done radio appearances, because everybody wants to ask him about the Astros. And as I feared, every single person he talks to outside of the city of Houston is really woefully misinformed about a lot of things.
And not afraid to spread their misinformation.
Right, right. And they just flat out, they just go ahead and go with doctored videos and whatnot.
Right.
And it's dismaying. I can't imagine what it's like being in politics. Being a political reporter where this is the standard fare that political people have to deal with all the time now, which is like so much fake news out there. Sports, in a weird, weird way, has become much more, I guess, I don't want to say respectable, but in terms of like, I feel like people are operating in good faith for the most part. Usually when you have sports arguments and whatnot, you're all dealing with numbers that you trust and everything. It doesn't feel like that right now when it comes to the scandal.
No.
It feels like
a
whole lot of people just will see a video on the internet and believe like, oh, okay, well, that's true. Oh, Altuve did run right into the dugout afterwards. So obvious. Like, no, he didn't. He was on the field after that walk-off hit in the ALCS. He was on the field for 3 minutes after he hit it. But nope, in their minds, he ran into the dugout, changed his shirt, and then came back out.
It's almost like if you're taking up for the Astros in some way, nobody's taking up for what they did.
Yeah.
I don't think in Houston. And certainly nobody is taking up for their apology that they had last Thursday.
Or the press conference, at least. They're not taking up for
the apology press conference. Yeah, the Jim Crane orchestrated press conference. Nobody's taking up for that. But there are people taking up for things that you and I have been, Seth, which is the spread of falsehood. The seeming license to just say whatever the hell you want if you aren't part of the Houston Astros,
right.
If you're one of these other 29 teams, and it's almost like if you're defending the Astros, you're trying to solve something bigger societally than just the misinformation about the Astros.
Like, okay,
you're attacking the news cycle, which is like, honestly, it's like trying to wrestle an elephant.
I read everything. Send something to me. I won't get offended if I've already read it 20 times because I don't want to miss something. I've read everything. I am 100% convinced that Altuve didn't participate in the scheme. I'm 100% convinced that the scheme wasn't going on in 2019, certainly the tub thumping. I'm open to more information. I'm still open at this point. But as far as when it comes to Altuve, I'm 100% convinced that he didn't participate. Mm-hmm. I'm 100% convinced he was not wearing a buzzer. And there's hardcore data to back that up. And yet, I hear from people who are otherwise rational, intelligent, otherwise responsible human beings who will say things like, well, they opened themselves up to it. Open themselves up to it. Like, admitting to a crime in 2017 does not mean that you're automatically guilty of everything that happens after that. And to act as if that's true or acceptable behavior is just you're being willfully ignorant. It's driving me crazy, Sean.
Yeah. Well, how about we cleanse the palate with some football? Would you like
that? Yeah.
Let's cleanse the palate. What would you say if I told you that you're familiar with Adam Schein? He writes for NFL.com. He's a columnist for NFL.com.
He's got an incredibly deep voice.
Does he really?
He looks like Milhouse, but sounds like the voice of Milhouse. God. It's weird. When you hear him on the radio, you'd be like, well, this guy sounds like
this guy sounds like
he must be 57 years old, like with a glass of scotch and a cigar. And
not the case.
Yeah. He sounds almost like the Diesel, our old traffic guy.
Yeah, I like that. the Diesel, I remember the guy. That's a way back machine right there. What would you say if I told you that Adam Schein, NFL.com columnist, thinks that the Texans have the fourth biggest Super Bowl window right now in the entire league?
Fourth biggest Super Bowl?
Yes.
So does that mean the longest stretch of time?
Yes.
Okay.
The title of the article is NFL's biggest Super Bowl window, and then it says Chiefs, Ravens, Niners top the list.
I think that if there's anything that we've learned over the past couple decades, it's that as long as you have a quarterback you believe in, you are in a Super Bowl window. Except for the Detroit Lions, who I honestly believe in Matt Stafford. I think he could. I think honestly, and nobody's been dragged. Sure, has he ever beat a good team? No, but
he's never won a playoff game.
I know he's never won a playoff game, but he's also got an abysmal record versus actual winning teams too.
So why do you
really
believe in him exactly?
Because the Lions are so bad at everything else.
You think if he got plunked down somewhere else, he'd be really, really good?
I think with the right coach and the right system, you could definitely win a Super Bowl with him. He's in this weird like Andy Dalton plus category. I think it's like Andy Dalton with physical tools or something.
Let me ask you this, and we'll get back to the window, but you brought up Stafford. I promise we're going to get back to the Texans window here, but would the Patriots be better off trading draft capital and having Matthew Stafford a quarterback and letting Tom Brady walk?
This is where I think that Stafford's physical tools are obviously superior to Tom Brady's at this point, but I don't know if you're I think he's a little too much of an old dog to learn new tricks.
Okay.
So to go into that system where it works when you've got a freaking genius at quarterback, I just don't think it's going to happen at this point in his career. Now, maybe if you went with Gary Kubiak, now that's a whole different deal. Kubiak dumbs it down for you as a quarterback.
Okay.
Kubiak's like hitting the easy button as a quarterback. But now would the Vikings be better off with Matt Stafford than Kirk Cousins? I believe yes.
You do?
Yeah.
I do too. I'm not a big Kirk. Kirk Cousins did some things this year that I didn't expect. He won a couple games that he historically has not been able to win before, but I'm with you. Yeah, there's a higher ceiling with Matthew Stafford. So the Texans have the fourth highest window, according to Adam Schein. The top three are no surprise. Kansas City Chiefs are number one, defending Super Bowl champs that everybody wants to.
So this is longest Super Bowl window.
Biggest Super Bowl window. The Chiefs are number one for obvious reasons. The Baltimore Ravens are number two. Again, I would say probably for obvious reasons. The San Francisco 49ers are three, in spite of Jimmy Garoppolo.
That's interesting.
Three, yeah.
Because I guess in that instance, he really trusts Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch and ownership to move forward. Because I don't know that
the future, the exact sentence, the future looks exceedingly bright with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch steering the ship. Ding, 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 ding. Seth Payne, you are wise.
But it's also, and as you had deftly pointed out, it's interesting that Chicago just gets piled on over and over and over again because they turned down the opportunity to draft Pat Mahomes. Well, so did the San Francisco 49ers.
They did.
The San Francisco 49ers could have drafted Pat Mahomes, and then I think obviously won the Super Bowl this year.
You just flip the two quarterbacks?
Yeah.
Hey, let's trade.
And I think Garoppolo was better in that game than people are giving credit for. One of the problems was that George Kittle pushed off when he didn't need to push off.
True.
Jimmy Garoppolo made a brilliant pass at the end of the first half there.
But he wasn't brilliant when he needed to be brilliant.
Right. Yeah. So that to say that the 49ers have that large of a window, I think is I think perhaps too much of a vote of confidence in John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan.
Interesting.
We've seen this before when, let's remember how, much we gushed about John Elway, the GM? After
I mean, because they got to the Super Bowl, eventually won a Super Bowl.
And he got super aggressive. Look, that was an instance where free agency spending really paid off. It doesn't work, but it worked with the Broncos. So I'm not there saying that they've... I would put the Texans in terms of a championship window in the length of it. I trust Deshaun Watson more than I trust Jimmy Garoppolo, so I'll put it there.
Here's what Adam Schein says specifically about the Texans. You ready? Too high? Maybe. And again, if you're just jumping in with us here, the Texans on Adam Schein's, the NFL.com columnist Adam Schein's rating of biggest Super Bowl window for potentially winning a championship, the Texans are fourth in the entire league. I think there's a lot of people that would argue, man, they're barely even fourth in the AFC. But so this is what he says, Seth. Too high? Maybe. I'm skeptical about Bill O'Brien reporting to Bill O'Brien. And the lack of a first-round pick until 2022 isn't very comforting. This roster has a number of holes in aging position groups. That is a hell of a lead-in paragraph right there for the team that's fourth in the Super Bowl window.
I got this image of like one of those 1970s musical, like they weren't called music videos yet, but where it's like Bill O'Brien singing a ballad, and then over his shoulder there's another image of Bill O'Brien coming in singing, while Bill O'Brien down below is looking wistfully off into the distance.
Yes. Bill O'Brien wondering if he's going to get fired by Bill O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien with an angel Bill O'Brien on one shoulder and a devil Bill O'Brien
like
on the other
House.
Shoulder.
Yeah. Trade him. Trade them all. So
No, Bill. Keep everybody. Cultivate your talent. Maybe hire a new offensive line coach.
Trade him. Get rid of everybody. Fire everybody. Take down Cal.
Is the fire everybody? Was that Easterby on his one shoulder screaming that?
Ironically enough, Easterby is the devil on his shoulder.
He is. But not a hatchet man.
With a coffee bean in his pocket.
So here's the good part about the Texans and Adam Schein. You ready? That said, the Texans also have a true franchise quarterback, a game changer at the game's most important position. Deshaun Watson showed us in the regular season and the playoffs just how impactful one man can be, and it doesn't hurt when that man has one of the league's very best at his disposal to throw to in DeAndre Hopkins. Houston has weaknesses, but its strengths can be overpowering. Yeah, they blew a 24-0 lead to the Chiefs.
Details.
But the fact, okay, this is the part where I'm like, dude, did you even watch the game? But the fact that they had a 24-0 lead over the eventual Super Bowl champs in the first place shouldn't be forgotten. With Deshaun under center, Houston's firepower is real.
Does he think that was like marching up and down the field, 24-0 lead?
Yeah. That was a Fugazi 24-0 lead. Yeah. That was a cubic zirconia. That was not real. That was not a real 24-0. I know numerically it was real, but it was a house of cards. It was just ready to be
could have been a 28
toppled over.
Could have been 28-0.
Yeah, Bill O'Brien just stuck with his. During the season credo of going forward on fourth down. What do you think of that assessment? Is that enough to feel like a team?
I think he's putting a little too much. I think that you have to make a distinction between having a quarterback and having an offense.
Right.
Because the offense was an average offense last year. Right. And it's a little misleading. I mean, if you look at the overall stats, you'd say, well, that's an average offense. The problem was that their bad games were so atrociously bad that it pulled the average down. I'd say 12 games out of the year last year, they had an above-average offense. They had a kind of, at times, scary good offense. The bad games and the bad performances, in particular against some bad teams, were so disappointing that it dragged everything down. So I think that you have to make that distinction. Now, if we're talking about how long is your window is as long as your quarterback is viable. Mm-hmm. At some point over the next 8 years, one of two things is going to happen. Well, one of three things is going to happen. Either the Texans get better and have more playoff success, and then maybe Deshaun Watson and Bill O'Brien stick around. Or Bill O'Brien gets fired at some point and we try it with a new coach. Or Deshaun Watson, for some reason, rolls out or leaves here or gets traded or something.
Or gets hurt.
I didn't want to say it for some reason. Like, I feel like it's... Yeah, it would be that he'd get just
more chance
continually
of that
banged
than leaving,
up. Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
What's most likely there?
I think
the new coach.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
I think if you're asking me to bet on a scenario, that's not hating on Bill O'Brien. It's hard to win a Super Bowl. And eventually he's done enough things where it's going to be non-negotiable that he's got to get to at least close to a Super Bowl.
You know, if Andy
Reid... He's not close yet.
If Andy Reid can continually go to NFC championship games and still get rolled out of a city, at some point, continually making it to the divisional round or the wild card round isn't going to be enough.
He's in year seven.
Yeah.
He's in year seven. He's been here almost as long as Kubiak was here. So we sit here and we talk about the Texans having the fourth biggest Super Bowl window, and we maybe – it doesn't sound like you're really scratching your head too much, Seth, because of Deshaun. Let me just name the teams that are right after them on this list, and then maybe it starts to become a little clearer and make a little more sense. How do you feel about the Texans window compared to the Cowboys, who are fifth on his list?
I might put the Cowboys in front of that. I feel like, yeah, I think Deshaun's ceiling is a lot higher than Dak. You know, you forget with Dak. Dak has had, you know, Deshaun's inconsistent from game to game. Dak is inconsistent from season to season. And I think that if you swapped those two quarterbacks, Deshaun would have done more with the weapons around him. Yeah. When Dak doesn't have a peak Ezekiel Elliott or whatnot around him, then he's not making anybody else better. But yeah, I think they've got a better foundation.
Green Bay Packers, sixth.
That's just simply age of the quarterback. Okay. So yeah, I would put Texans ahead of them.
Philadelphia Eagles, seventh.
So if we're talking about length or length of time of the window that's open, Jonesy, you're a resident Eagles expert, and man, Carson Wentz, huh? What, it's just,
and they need to get younger, so I think they need to retool. I don't think they're going to be a Super Bowl contender for a while.
And they've just that's true. Like, is their window? Are they even realistically in a window right now?
Yeah, that's a fair
given
question.
Given all the look, they spent when they had to spend, and now they got to figure out how to manage around all that.
Yeah, I would say they're in a window, but their whole body isn't through. Like, they've got their face poked through the window.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, they haven't jumped all the way through the window like some of those viral videos of people attacking drive-through cashiers. They're not like that. The Buffalo Bills are eighth on this list.
Somebody made a good point about the Bills the other day, and I'm glad he said it because there's this narrative surrounding Josh Allen, which is that, wow, he's got this huge arm, but he's not that accurate. So what you need are taller receivers. And I'm glad that this stat-heavy guy brought this up because this is the thing. When Josh Allen misses people downfield, it's not by 6 inches.
No, it's like 6 feet.
Yeah, it's not like having a taller guy out there. So when John Brown is wide ass open, he can adjust to a ball that's thrown a little bit differently. He's just missing. He was missing wide open receivers by yards and yards and yards.
Yeah.
So I'm not a Josh Allen believer. I like watching him play when it's not versus the Texans. The kid's just a bull in a china shop out there. But no, I don't think they're actually in a window right now.
I don't either. I think I think the Eagles are more in a Super Bowl window than the Bills are because they've got a coach who's won a Super Bowl and a quarterback who's competed at times at a very, very high level.
Yeah.
The Seattle Seahawks are the last ones on the list at ninth. Look, I'm someone who's a Seahawk believer year in and year out. As annoying as Russell Wilson is, I think you can make a case that he's the best quarterback in the league.
Have you seen the new photo with him?
With his new hair, dude?
His hair, though, like straightened long hair. He looked like the lead singer of NXS.
Yeah.
If you were alive. And it's weird, man. He's doing like he's doing a blue steel face, doing this modeling pic with his wife.
Yeah. I'm here for that. I'm here for this version of Russell Wilson.
It was the equivalent of Tom Brady when he did that photo shoot with the baby goat. It just made you feel so uncomfortable.
Sweater turtleneck on.
Yeah.
But are the Seahawks a little too low on this list? I'd have them ahead of the Bills. I'd have them ahead of the Eagles. I might even have them ahead of the Packers.
I would have them ahead of the 49ers and the Texans, too. So I would actually put them up on the top
three.
Yeah, you got Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's going to stay healthy.
He's only 30.
I mean, he's been banged up at times, but he's going to stay long-term healthy.
He's really, really good. Yeah, he's really, really good.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.